My name is Tony D'Amico. I'm one of the pastors here at The Rock, if you did not catch that during announcements. And tonight, we are continuing in our Thessalonians series that we're calling Standing Firm. And one of the things is, pastors, our hope is that you're like gleaning from these Thessalonians the faith that they were expressing. And the cool thing about it is, if you've noticed, that their faith was something that wasn't just like a localized faith. It was something that actually was being expressed, and people all over the world were taking note about these Thessalonians and their faith that they had in Jesus. And so last week, Austin finished out chapter 4 for us. And one of the big things that was the topic that was happening at the end of chapter 4 was this coming back of Jesus and what happened to those who were Christians who have already passed on. What happened to them? What's going to happen to them on the day of the Lord? And so Paul answers that, and then Paul transitions here into verses 5 through 11, and that's what we're going to be talking on tonight. And so just a quick recap. Do you guys remember who wrote the book of Thessalonians? Paul, okay. Is it a book or a letter? Letter. Great. It was written around 49 to 51 AD, and this was when Paul was in Corinth on his second missionary journey, and you can see that in Acts chapters 18, 1 through 18. And then again, the most prominent theme that we see here is that we need to stand firm in our faith and wait for the second coming of Jesus. And so tonight, my talk is called Children of Light. And you'll see why as I start getting into it. And the main idea is that Paul, in these verses, is reminding the Thessalonians about something big that he has on his heart. He's saying, you guys have slipped into a little bit of a crazy mindset. You're worrying about some details that you don't need to worry about. You're not children of darkness. You're children of light. You don't need to fear this day of the Lord. You don't need to fear out on missing something. And that your salvation will be brought to completion before the day of wrath happens, before this day of the Lord. And so we have this idea here of these two opposing forces, light and dark. And that symbolism has been used all over the world, right? It's something that we see in literature, we see it in movies, we see it in culture. Throughout all of human history, we see these two opposing forces. We also see it in where? Genesis 1, let there be light. And so from contemporary literature, and then we see light and darkness typically are these two forces that are opposing each other in nature, whether it's good or evil, knowledge and ignorance, love and hate, happiness and despair. And so some of the things that we can relate to in this day and age is this. This is the first one. Star Wars, right? We have the light side and the dark side of the force. And even just with this, recently, when the new version was released, Google had it so you could log into your account and experience your Gmail account as the light side or the dark side. The other one is this, Lord of the Rings. You know, in the end, who comes riding in on the white horse? Gandalf the White, right? And who is he fighting against? The Dark Lord Sauron. And Lost, one of my favorite TV shows ever. Just don't watch the last three episodes and you'll be fine. But this is Locke in the pilot episode, and he picks up these two pieces from this game, and he says, two players, two sides, one is light, one is dark. This is a reference in the show to Jacob and the man in black. And so we can see how this visual representation of these two ideas of dark and light is something that Paul is like, okay, I'm going to utilize this so I can talk to these Thessalonians, and also it's very biblical in the terms. And so whatever anxiety that these Thessalonians were feeling at this point, Paul wants to put to rest. And he's saying, guys, the day of the Lord is coming. You are not children of the dark. You are not on the dark side. You are children of light. You are on the light side. Okay, so with that, I'm going to pray, and then we'll get into it. Oh, Father, thank you so much for tonight that we can come together and that we can study your word. Lord, thank you for your word, that it convicts us and instructs us, and it shows us who you are, and it shows your character. Lord, thank you that we can come together and worship you in this building. And we just ask, Lord, that tonight that you open up our hearts to whatever you have for us. Teach us something that you have for us. And so, Lord, just teach us as well to continually love one another and just to have the strength to continue and get rid of any anxiety that's in our heart, just like these Thessalonians were experiencing. And these things we pray. Amen. All right, so since we only have 11 verses, I like going through them all before just to get the context. So we're going to read through these 11 verses, and you can either pull out your phone, your Bible, whatever you have, but go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 11. And also, a side note is we're going to start, we actually have started this, but if you pull out the app and go to tonight's message, it's actually like in the future, it's already posted. You can click on the blanks, and inside there's actually a digital version that you can fill out, hit send when you're done, and store it wherever you want on your digital side. So it's a cool little feature that we've added to our app. So let's start, and we'll go through these verses. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for the helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Awesome. So I'm going to be skipping around verses tonight, so when I start off on verse 2, don't think that I missed out on verse 1. I'm not going crazy. It's just how I've set up this talk. So we're going to go through these few verses again. So you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While they were saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for the day to surprise you like a thief. So Paul is lovingly reminding them about something, that they don't need to be surprised about the coming of the Lord, this day of the Lord that's mentioned here. He's saying that it's going to come like a thief in the night, but you guys don't need to worry about it. Because why? You're not children of darkness. You are children of light. But the children of darkness, they're the ones that need to really worry about this day of the Lord. And so there's this reference is, what is the day of the Lord? There's this phrase that is being used here. And it's very, very common in the Old Testament. We actually see it written about 19 times, and it refers to the coming destruction when God comes back to the earth and he punishes the unfaithful and he punishes those who are disobedient. But it's also a time when the salvation is for those who are saved and the faithful will be taken up with the Lord. And so we're going to go through some of those verses that we see in the Old Testament. In Amos 5:18, it says, "Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and it is not light." We also see a sense of immediacy and like how near and the sense of expectation. And in Isaiah 13:6, it says, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is near, as destruction from the Almighty will come." So Paul's, in his writing, he's talking about the second coming that's going to happen, and it's going to come like a thief in the night. So throughout the Old or the New Testament, the simile is actually used, and it suggests unexpectedness and unwelcomeness. The negative aspect here is clear, and there's no reason to think that Paul is going like on a different direction. The New Testament calls it the day of wrath, the day of visitation, the day of great God Almighty, and refers to the still future fulfillment when God's wrath is poured out on the unbelievers. The scriptures indicate that the day of the Lord will come quickly like the thief in the night, and therefore Christians must be watchful for this because Christ is going to come at any moment, and we need to be ready for that. And in Zephaniah 1:14-15, "The great day of the Lord is near, near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud here." A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress, a day of anguish, a day of ruin, a day of devastation, a day of darkness, a day of gloom, and a day of clouds and thick darkness. Although some have been wondering, maybe Paul is just threatening the Thessalonians. He's saying, you guys, you're maybe just not living your life right, so I'm going to threaten you a little bit with these verses. And you need to live in the light, not the darkness, because you guys are sinning. But it's far from that, because this whole time we've seen Paul what? He's been encouraging to the Thessalonians. He knows that their faith is far-reaching, and he knows that they are living a lifestyle that's pleasing to the Lord. And so with this, he's just reminding them that you guys aren't part of this. He's saying, you guys are living a life that's dedicated to Christ, but there are those who are still living in darkness. And again, they're questioning this because of what has happened to those who have died before them, who are believers. And so as humans, I would say most of us, we don't like the element of surprise. There's probably a small fraction of you out there that say, yes, I love the element of surprise. It's one of the best things ever. But most of us would say, no, we don't like it. Especially when it comes to our personal things, right? When we go sleep at our home at night, what do we typically do? We lock the doors. We possibly will turn on like a light on the side of our house, whatever it might be. We have security cameras. We have all these things because we don't want that unexpected, that unwelcomeness, that unawareness of someone breaking into our home. We do the same thing with our cars. We have car alarms. We set, we don't leave things in our cars so that people just don't break in there because we don't want that to happen. And so sometimes we can have these things as set up as like this false sense of security. And just like they said, there is peace and security. And it's somewhat of a propaganda statement. Because one thing that people who are living in darkness love to repeat is this: we're all good. We don't need Jesus. Everything's going fine. I've got the car alarm on my car. I've got the alarm on my house. No one's going to break in. I'm good. I don't need Jesus for any of this stuff. But then the thief comes. And this happened to me a few years ago. I had my car broke into, and there was a couple things stolen of value. I got home late one night from work, and I left my laptop in my car, and I was like, oh, I don't want to go back and get it. I'm really tired. It's in a black case. It's, you know, no one's going to notice it in there. It's on the floor. It's kind of hidden. No one's going to break into my car. Well, guess what? That night, the only night that I've ever left my laptop in the car, someone breaks in and steals it. And not only that, they decided that they wanted my stereo, but they couldn't get it out because I know that there's thieves, and I had it made so that you actually had to take out this whole panel to get the stereo out. So they decided to break it. They took a screwdriver and started busting it up. And then I also was the guy at this point in my life who had that ridiculous system in the car. You know, the guy like when you pull up to a stop sign and they're rattling your car? That was me. Yes, I'm very ashamed of that, and I'm not that way anymore. But so I had a huge system in this car, and I didn't want the speaker stolen, so I disengaged the trunk so you couldn't open it. So, well, they decided they want to try to get in the trunk because they saw there were speakers, and they took a screwdriver, tried to pry it open. They broke the trunk. They did so much damage to this car, but they couldn't take anything away. And I did everything that I possibly could up to that point. I locked my car. You know, I made things so that they couldn't steal them, but guess what? He still came. The thief came in the night. He broke into my car, and he stole all these things. And so how does that relate? We have to remember that we really, when it comes to Jesus coming back, no matter how much we prepare or how much we think that we have security, when we are on the side of darkness, Satan is going to come and he is going to destroy everything. God is going to let that wrath be expressed. So Paul is lovingly reminding them that suffering on that day of the Lord is not wrapped up for the unbeliever. It's stored up for the unbeliever, not for the believer. And it's like that pain of childbirth. When a woman goes into labor, it just comes suddenly. It's not something that just is like, okay, well, it's going to happen tomorrow or the next day. It's going to happen unexpectedly. And it's not the most comfortable thing to go through. I've never experienced it personally, but I've witnessed it a few times. And therefore, this wrath is going to take over you if you are a child of darkness. The thief will come in the night, not the day. This will not affect believers, but it will affect those who are living in darkness, those who are unsaved, those who are not trusting in Jesus for their salvation. And so my question for you, this is the first question. Are you a child of darkness? When Scripture talks about darkness, it's referring to the sinful path. Jesus is the light, and Satan is darkness. Spiritually blind people are living in the dark. They cannot understand the gospel. They don't understand biblical things. They can't see. They are blind. They don't see that their path is leading them to hell. They think it's fun. Their sin has blinded them into darkness. The darkness is what Paul is speaking about here. He's like, you guys are not spiritually blind like those that are not saved. That judgment that's coming, that day of the Lord, is stored up for those who are living in darkness. People who are consumed with their sin will not go near the light because it's just going to expose the sin in their life. John 11:10 says, but if anyone walks in the light, walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. 1 John 1:6, if we say we have him, we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. 1 John 2:9, whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. So what does it look like to live a life of darkness? Paul writes to the Galatians and he says this, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Many people can call themselves children of light, but they're actually still living in this type of lifestyle of sin. They're living in an unrepentant lifestyle. They're really still in darkness, but they don't think they are. You cannot say you love God, but live a life of unrepentant sin and say, I'm a child of light, because you're really not bearing fruit of those who are in the light. You're bearing fruit of those who are in the dark. This quote by John Piper is heavy. Sin is what you do when you are not satisfied with God. We must all seek the light, which is only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus satisfied the wrath of God. He drank your sin in full for you. We must all repent, and we must all trust that Jesus is who's going to get us to heaven. In Christ can we only understand. In Christ, the darkness can never overcome the light. The light leads to eternal life, and the darkness leads to eternal damnation. So Paul is saying, you guys, you are not part of that team. You are part of the light. And so he's really wanting to remind them of that, to not get worried about that and not wrap themselves in that anxiety. But us tonight, we can look at that and say, are we children of the dark? Are we living this unrepentant lifestyle of sin? Are we saved? Are we following Jesus Christ? Do we love our sin more than we love God? And so Paul, knowing that they're not children of darkness, he transitions into what he really wants to remind them of. We go to verse 1. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. The Thessalonians' question most likely arose from this idle curiosity. Since Paul reassures them rather than rebukes them, he's loving them through this and just saying, you guys have no need for me to write to you about these details because you already know what's going to happen. But something was bothering them. There was something else that they needed to have an answer to. And so being a good father in faith, Paul says, this isn't what you need to be worrying about. You guys are children of light. And let me just keep reassuring you and reminding you that's where you are. And so have you ever been in a situation where you've asked a question, maybe you've prayed about something, and God answers it a completely different way, and you're just like, oh, okay, I see now. But in the time, you're just like, God's not answering me. Why is this prayer not being answered? Or I asked for this, but God completely changes the answer, the outcome. But that's because he's a good father. And he loves you and knows you, so he wants to give you the right answer. And that's how Paul is seeing with these Thessalonians. And God uses those times to train us and to teach us something. And so Paul answers in this loving way in Thessalonians 1:5. For you all are children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So again, Paul's like, you guys don't even worry about the times of the season. You guys don't need an answer for that. You already know. He points out the differences between these Thessalonians, that they are saved. They are not living in the darkness. They're living in the light. He's saying none of that stuff matters, guys. Don't worry about it. Your salvation is secure in Jesus. Jesus has you. And when he returns, you're going to be swept away with him. You're not going to be here for this day of destruction. You are not going to experience the wrath that those who are living in darkness are going to experience. Paul is reminding them that they are children of light, that they have been called from their old lifestyle, that they are not living that list that we saw in Galatians. He's transformed them. This light that is in them now is being emulated in everything that they do, and it's being noticed around the entire world. Colossians 1:13, he says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Ephesians 5:8, for once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people with light. And I love that NLT version, how it ends with that. Live as people with light. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So, are you a child of light? Are you in this room tonight and you're saying, yes, I'm a child of light? And what does that look like? Well, back in those verses in Galatians, the first part, that's what it looks like to live in darkness. Well, the second part, this is what it looks like to be in the light. And Paul says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So all these characteristics are in complete opposition of what we read in the prior verses of these in Galatians. If you are walking in the light, these are the things that are the priority in your life. You're going to be living a life that is noticeably different. You're not going to be living that same old lifestyle that you used to live. Take a look at your life now and match it up to what these categories say. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then take the next step. After you do a self-examination, ask somebody around you. If you're married, ask your spouse. If you have a roommate, ask your roommate. If you don't have a roommate, ask somebody who's close to you and ask them, how am I doing in this area? How am I doing in these areas? I do this sometimes with my wife, and I'll ask her, I was like, how am I doing in this area? Have I been kind and patient with my kids? Have I been kind to you? And she'll let me know if I'm not. And that's why it's good to have people around us that can speak into our lives. I have brothers in my life that will also do the same thing. Have I been faithful in the things that I've said that I would set out to accomplish? Or am I the guy who's like, I'll say I'll do it, but then I never pull through? You're one of those unreliable friends. Is my demeanor peaceful? Do I seem peaceful? Or am I actually more of a person that's kind of hateful? Am I loving? Do I love people? Do I have self-control in the things that I enjoy? Do I have to watch out for that? Yes, I always do, because there's a lot of things that I love that I have to make sure that I have self-control in those areas, because they could easily turn into an idol in my life. It's easy for us to say we're all good in these areas and we don't live like those in the darkness. But when we actually start looking at our life, it's like, oh, have I been getting drunk? Oh, am I living a life that's sexually impure? Oh, am I just angry and hateful all the time? I need to take a look at this. I need to check these areas in my life. And you can't be a Christian in this room and be like, well, I can take care of this all on my own, because that's not going to happen. Being a lone Christian, you're going to fall into some bad practices. And that's why being in fellowship is so good. So make sure you're in a small group. Make sure you have accountability. Make sure you have somebody who's talking to you in your life in these areas. So Paul goes into this next, and he says, so then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. So let us be children of light, not children of the darkness. Paul gives this general exhortation here based on this reassurance that we see in verse 5. And this idea here to sleep is not necessarily like to physically sleep. It's sleep is to be morally or spiritually disengaged or living without a conscience of the coming day. The idea here is that people normally don't do things during the day that they would probably do at night because they think that they can get away with it and not get caught. But doing so is the natural enemy of Christ. That's how when we live a lifestyle of that, we're a natural enemy to Christ. So Paul exhorts them in two ways here as well. He tells them, first, he says, be mentally alert, and second is have moral excellence. We must have balance in those areas. Then Paul continues to reassure them. We see that in verses 8 through 10. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love and the helmet of the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. So once we're saved, we're always saved. We have to understand that. And Paul tells us here, he says something though, it's pretty awesome. He says, we need to be sober and we need to put on the breastplate of faith and of love and the helmet of salvation, the helmet of hope of salvation. So Paul is saying, you guys, live a life of light. Don't be living this life of darkness. And so he says, put on these two pieces of the armor of God. And this is pretty cool here. So I'm actually going to ask Scrib to design a really good illustration of the armor of God because I can't find a good one, but this was the best that I could find. The beautiful thing I see here is really cool, is that he tells him to put on two pieces. He doesn't tell him to put it all on, okay? He just says put on the helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness. He doesn't say pick up the sword of the Spirit. He doesn't say the belt of truth, the shield of faith, the shoes of peace. He doesn't say that you need to go study the word, you need to go share the gospel, and you need to do all these things. He says, just put on the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. And why I think that's so cool is because I feel like Paul here is saying, you guys have so much anxiety that you need to deal with this. You're so much in your head that your heart's not lining up, and you're so crazy in your heart that your head's not lining up. These are the two areas that you really need to shield yourself against. And so he's like, guys, all this stuff that you have these questions about, I don't even think that's what it is. It's like, you just have a lot of anxiety right now, and in your head, in your heart, they are not lining up. And the reason why I love this was because I taught on this in verse 1, in his greeting, Paul says, grace and peace to you. And that peace, the term there he used, comes from the word shalom, which meant wholeness and soundness, prosperity and spiritual things. A true sense of peace is in the whole person, in their heart and of their mind. And so Paul is saying, like, you need to have peace in your heart and in your mind, not just in one or the other. Stop having so many anxious thoughts. And we need to understand that grace before we can even truly have that peace. They understood that grace, but they were having a hard time with Jesus coming back, what all those details were. They were having a lot of anxiety. So Paul wants to remind them again, guys, have this wholeness of heart and mind in your spiritual life. We cannot just have peace in our heart. We have to have it in our mind as well. And this wholeness is what I'm talking about. And so, Christian, is this something that you fall into? Do you sometimes just get so much anxiety about your relationship with God or the things of that you can't control, the unknown, those anxieties start to overwhelm you that you can't even function throughout the day? I can fall into this category. I am not up from this. I can start thinking like, oh, did I do enough? Did I pray enough? Did I read my Bible enough? Things aren't going the way that they should. What's going on, God? Am I, blah, 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 blah. And I'll start going down this line in my mind and I get so crazy that I start giving myself all this anxiety. And I start to forget what that perfect peace is, that perfect peace in my mind and in my heart, because they're not lining up. Charles Spurgeon said, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strength. So do you have peace in your heart and your mind? Paul is reminding them to get out of their heads. Their salvation is secure. Continue to walk in the light. Jesus has given them victory over their sin. Christian, do you have this true sense of peace in your life? Do you have it when it comes to your heart and in your mind? Here's some great verses to remind us of this. But thank God, he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus Christ. We can be encouraged to know that when we are in Jesus, there is nothing that is going to take us away from him. that we are secure in our salvation, that he loves us, that he's not going to let us go. And so, as a Christian, we have to remember that. And so then Paul, he goes to this next thing, he ends with this. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Sorry, I didn't see that, I didn't click. So therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you were doing. So in our overflow of love that we have for Jesus should be expressed in loving those around us. And not just the people that we like, but everybody that's around us. Whether we're here in our church building or we are at work, we have the love of Christ in us and we should love one another. And so Paul here is specifically saying, you know, build each other up as Christians, but we also need to remember that we need to be loving others. That light of Jesus needs to be pouring out in our lives. And so as a good father here, Paul, again, he's not even rebuking him for any of this stuff because he's like, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you're doing. It's like, you guys are doing a great job at this. Keep going. Keep going. Do what you're doing. And so my question for you here is this. Are you encouraging others? The Thessalonians were known, actually, as great encouragers. They really did love each other. At The Rock, we should also be known for that. How are we doing in this area? Are we encouraging to one another? Are you building each other up, or are you thinking the worst about people? Do you have people over for dinners? Do you go to coffee with people? These are just some examples. And it's like, how much we encourage each other goes such a long way. And as like a pastor, it brings me so much joy to see when people do those things for one another. Even just like on a personal note, somebody sent me a letter a couple weeks ago, and it said, thank you so much for keeping your website updated because I've been out of town for 188 days, and it's kept me plugged into the church. It's helped me listen to messages and read the blogs and just feel connected to my church home. So when I come back, it doesn't feel like I skipped a beat that much. And that was really encouraging to me to hear that. And don't ever think the guy next to you is encouraging somebody else because they're probably not. For me, I get more complaints than I get encouragement. And so we need to be thinking about that. How can we encourage one another? How are we loving one another? As simple as, oh, I'm having a bad day. Well, let me pray for you. Not just, how can I pray for you? Let me pray for you right now. We need to look for those opportunities to like immediately act on something and not just wait for it or put it on the books and try to do it later. You know, it's like if you have a friend who's like, oh, we're just having a hard time right now. It's just life is so busy. And it's like, well, let me watch your kids for you so you and your wife can go on a date night. Whatever it might be. Or if you're a mechanic and you know someone who needs help in the church fixing their vehicle, help them. There's so many ways that we can serve and love and encourage one another. How can we encourage one another in the Lord? A lot of times it's really easy to encourage somebody when you're having those conversations over someone's car or you're out to coffee. It's a lot easier to be doing that than it is to be like, oh, I'm just going to encourage you from the sideline. In the New Testament, love is more of a verb than a noun. It has more to do with acting than with feeling. The call to love is not so much a call to a certain state of feeling as it is to a quality of action. We can often get in that rut and we forget to mention to those around us, or we just might think that somebody else might be doing it. But as Christians, our love for one another should just be a constant overflow. We should always be encouraging one another. We should always be praying for one another. We should always be seeking out ways to do things for each other, for our brothers and sisters. That is one way that we can truly love one another and truly encourage one another. And so I'm just going to recap. First thing we talked about was this. Which side are you on? Are you a child of darkness? Are you letting sin in your life and living a life of darkness? Is God calling you to turn away from your sinful life? Are you living a life of being drunk and partying all the time, living in sexual immorality? Whatever it might be, I'm living a lifestyle that's, I have all these idols in my life. Are you living that lifestyle? Is God calling you to this area of repentance? And again, as a Christian, We're going to sin. We're not going to be sinless, but we have to think about, are we living a lifestyle of unrepentant sin? Do we think that our sin is okay? Like that we can compartmentalize this sin for this specific purpose, for this specific reason, and I can control it when I want it, but it's not really a thing that I'm giving to God because I like this more than I like my relationship with God. We have to be careful with that. Because if that is you, you might not be a child of light. You might be living in darkness. If those of you are in this building and you don't consider yourself a child of light, God has drawn you here for a specific purpose. He wants to reveal himself to you and show you who he is, that he loves you, that he knows that you can't live this life without him because your sin is going to only do one thing. It's going to send you to hell. But when you accept Jesus into your life and say, you know, I can't do this on my own. This sin is not mine to take care of. Then all of a sudden you become a child of light. And God is not going to let you go at that point. He's going to help you. He's going to work with you. He gave you this church so that you could get plugged in so that people can help you with that. We love you and we want you to experience that. And so if you're in this room and that is you, please come talk to me after service. I'll be over here. Or go back to the Connections booth. Talk to Pastor Austin who spoke last week or Keaton back at the Connections booth. Just don't leave before you talk to somebody. Then also we talked about, are we letting anxieties of our life get in control of us? Is it ruining our day because we have so much anxiety in our life? Do you have peace in your heart and in your mind about the security of the salvation that you have in Jesus? And then lastly, are we encouraging others? Are we encouraging our brothers and sisters around us? And are we seeking ways to do that? And that would be my challenge for you this week. Seek out ways that you can encourage one another, whether it's going to coffee and talking about life, talking about how your relationship with Jesus is doing. Seek out ways to encourage one another. So let's pray, and then I'll be up here after service if you have any questions. Father, thank you so much again for tonight. We just love you so much. Thank you that we can study your word. Lord, thank you that you do call us from darkness to light and that you saved us. Lord, that you want that relationship with us, that you don't want us to have anxieties in our life, that you want us to be whole with you. Lord, as we go throughout our week, just teach us to seek out ways to always encourage one another, to love one another. And Lord, we just commit all of our time to you. In these things we pray. Amen.